of the Ramen Tune of the Week. So we'll just say a quick hello to Stuart. Hello, Stuart.
How are you doing, David?
Not too bad, sir. Do you have a nice nice Christmas New Year?
I thought it was going to be quiet, but it turned out rather busy.
a real busy one for you.
Yeah, kept me on my toes anyway.
So then, I say we had five nominations, and I was looking at it earlier on, and it seemed to be a little bit of a two-horse race and for this week, but I haven't looked at it, purposefully haven't looked at it for about 2 or 3 hours, just so it was very, very close between the top two, so I'll be quite interested to see who came out on top, if it's Brightling Sea or if it was Chipstead off. There's a big surprise.
Well, this week, I've been keeping a close eye on it this week. You're right in saying it's been a two-horse race between Bradley and Chipstead. I left the voting, not the numbers, but I left it open so you could see the percentage of the voting. So you could see it's quite close. It's about 46-47% between them. But what you didn't actually see, what I could see, was the numbers and the votes between them. It never went more than 30 votes between them. That's how close it was. Mm. But yeah, so I'm just going to shout out the bottom three.
Yep.
And I'll come up to the top two. In fifth was Burnham Ramblers, followed by Berrytown. And then Burgess Hill, previous winners themselves, they were third. They got about 10% of the votes between them. Well, not even that. I think it was less than 5%, because it really was a two-horse race. The unanimously voted just between the top two. And like I said, there was never more than 30 votes between these two. And 10-15 minutes before the voting shut, I think we had 300 votes in the last half an hour, which really turned it on its head. Uh-huh. And it went to Brightling Sea by 9 votes.
Oh.
9 votes they won it by. And it changed hands in the last half an hour. It changed hands, I don't know how many times, 12 times. I was watching the voting and it changed hands about 10 or 12 times. Chipstead were in the lead by 2 votes, then Brighton and Sea were in the lead by 5 votes, then Chipstead and then Brighton. And it's been that close all week. It's been really hard fought one this week.
It was quite funny because I had the Chipstead manager on the phone to me earlier in the week, and he said, "Oh, we'll need a miracle to win this." He said to me, and I kept looking at it, and I think the last time I looked at it, Chipstead were in the lead, I must admit, and it was quite funny. I thought to myself, "Well, he's saying that he might win it," and so it's interesting though to see that Brighton City have won it now 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, double header for them. But I just want to give a shout out to Chipstead as well, because they've lost it on 9 votes. And I can see where the votes are coming from and stuff like that. And they've really done well to publish it out and get people to vote for them and stuff like that. Both of them are just shy of 500 votes each.
Wow.
And with 9 between them. So Chipstead really do deserve a big shout out for that.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
And it is really harsh because they were neck and neck. All the way through the last 10 minutes, the voting must have been really frantic.
Well, we were saying earlier on that that basically, I think if one result goes one way at the weekend, I think it will just be one team to be nominated next week, because the team that that could end up taking it for the second time for them as well would be Burgess Hill Town, because of course they've got Dartford in the trophy at the weekend.
Yeah, that's one I'm going to watch out for myself. Really, I'm covering an FA Trophy game up here at Stockport County View Wrexham for the non-league paper myself. So I'll be keeping a close eye on FA Trophy games next weekend. And I got asked to do a preview for a match programme. So I wrote a little preview and I just focused on the teams up the north. What gave a special shout out to Burgess Hill, because obviously my affiliation with you in the Ryman League now, and I gave them a shout out in this programme. But the tremendous run that they're on, the more than a half a chance that they've got of causing an upset at Dartford.
I think they've stand a great chance, to do it. I mean, I'm just looking at their actual standing in the league. You know, they're top of the table now. They've got 3 games in hand and they're top. And they've played 25 games. They've actually won 20. They've drawn five. They've got 64 goals for, 20 goals against, and a goal difference of 44 with 65 points. You know, so just an amazing. And even when we had them on the show earlier in the season, you know, you looked at their, even their pre-season games as well, and they hadn't lost them either. You know, it was just quite incredible when you look down at all the games that they've played. And I think the only team that has beaten them this season is Dartford, and that was in the FA Cup.
Yeah, you've just got to look at the cup run, the FA Cup and the cup run that they've had in the FA Trophy. They're on some roll, aren't they? It's going to take some stopping.
Well, I think they've got a very, very tough week this week, because depending on what team gets put out on, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday night, because, of course, they've got Dartford at home in the Trophy this weekend, and then, of course, in midweek, they go to Margate, who are top of the Premier Division, so and flying on all cylinders. So, you know, that could be a tough old game for them, depending on what side sort of Burgess Hill put out in the cup and what sort of side Margate put out as well. So that could be an interesting game to keep an eye open for during midweek as well.
Yeah, that's definitely one to follow. But like I said previously, I wouldn't have known much about Burgess Hill Town or anything to do with the Ryman League. But through keeping an eye on this over the past couple of weeks, I'll give Burgess Hill Town a little shout out in it's Charlie FC's programme as they play FC United in the FA Trophy this weekend, so I've got a little shout out in there as well.
So who won your Northern Team of the Week this week? I mean, I know myself, but just everybody else knows.
Who won it this week?
A spanner in the works. I don't know. Do you know what?
I've just been so busy watching this Ryman one for the last half an hour.
On the tip of my tongue, then.
Nantwich Town, that was
it. Yeah.
Nantwich Town. I've just been so busy watching this fast, furious voting on the Ryman one. I've completely forgot about that one.
So, I mean, with the actual Ryman one, how many total votes was it altogether this week? Was that the second highest this week?
It was just over 1,000.
Yeah.
1,080 or something, I think it was. And the other three teams got 45 votes between them.
Right.
They got just under 500 each. Mm. And there's only 9 votes in it. I couldn't believe it. I was just refreshing the page. I was watching it, and I've never done that before. I've just sat there refreshing the page and watching the votes come in, and I was I don't know, it was like watching the FA Cup draw or something. I'm watching the numbers change all the time. It's
I think the Chipstead manager, Steve Baker, will be sitting out there, and I think he'll be kicking the cat and the dog and all the rest of it, because he's put so much effort into getting it promoted. The actual manager, really, really nice guy as well, been on the show. Put a massive lot of effort into it, do you know what I mean, this week to try and get it. I had somebody contact me during the week and said, but hang on a minute, he said, you keep doing this Ryman team of the week, he said, and it's biased towards the big teams. And I said, well, it's not. I said, because one of the teams that, he said, the bigger the crowd the team get, the more votes they get. I said, well, no, because it doesn't work that way. I said, because a few weeks ago when Hive Town won it, when they won it with God knows how many votes it was that they had, that, you know, themselves on that week. And I said, like, they're one of the smallest teams here, and yet they've got, I think it was about 2,000 votes or something, wasn't it, they got that even on their own. I said, so it doesn't work like that at all. I said, it's a case of if you promote it, you promote it. Guernsey put it onto the ITN news channel. They promoted it.
That was over Christmas while we were off over Christmas. Yeah.
And they put it on there.
I sent you the link to that. Yeah, that was amazing to see that, because, like I said, I can see where the votes are coming from. And I just seen ITN.com and I thought, oh, God, where they've got this from? So I clicked the link and I seen it, and it was on the Guernsey Regional News and ITN page.
And that's the way to do it, isn't it? I mean, you know, they've gone out there, they've actually publicised it, and that week, you know, when everybody looked at it and said, oh, well, you know, Burgess Hill have got to win it that week because they beat Aldershot in the previous round of the trophy, and of course they didn't win it because Guernsey went out there and did a bit of press work with it and sent it out everywhere, and they pipped Burgess Hill, to the title, shall we say, on that week.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's all PR. If you spend a little bit of time sending it out to X, Y, and Z, and they publish it, you're going to get the votes. On the one that I did this week, I published mine on the Saturday evening, and I closed the votes on the Monday evening, so it's for the full week. And from the Saturday to the Sunday, one team was leading it, another team got wind of it,
publicised it all Sunday evening. And then all day Monday, they stormed into the lead and Nantwich Town took it from Barnton. So it's just what you do with it, really.
Absolutely. And funny enough, my next guest on the show just happens to be James Webster, the manager from Brightling Sea Region. So that'd be interesting to see what he's got to say, winning it two weeks in a row from a side that were, you know, struggling. They were very, really struggling. First time into the Ryman North this year, they just got promoted up, and they've gone on an amazing run, and now sitting 10th in the Ryman North, and, on an absolute amazing run, and only now sort of like 5 points from outside the playoffs. So it's an amazing run that they're on, and as I say, the five points outside the playoffs with two games in hand. So it's quite an incredible little run that they've gone on over the last over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, like I say, keeping a close eye on the Ryman related matters these days. I noticed these teams and little results popping up and stuff like that, to taking a keen eye on and stuff like that. So I've noticed a few little teams. And how they're getting on.
Well, next week, when we speak to you next week, we've actually got Stuart. We've actually got the boss in the studio next week. So the vice chairman of the league will be in the studio with us next week. Mr. Nick Robinson will be in the studio with us next week. So he might even ask you a couple of questions. You never know. But he'll be in the studio with us next week. But as I say, I'll try and send them over to you on Saturday evening again. And of course, Burgess Hill Town pull off the, I don't even know if you call it a shock, really, the run they're on. But if they get the win on Saturday, it might just be one team in it.
Yeah, it could be an upset, but it wouldn't be a shock, I don't think, if they did pull it off. So, I'll definitely be keeping my eye out for that one, and I'll be rooting for them up there.
Magic. Stuart, thanks for your time again tonight, and speak to you again next week.
Yeah, no problems, David. Pass on my congratulations to Brightling Sea manager who's on next, and
I will do.
Make sure you commiserate your husband out. I shall try and
speak to Steve later on tonight and give my commiserations to
him. Yeah, I'll be sending him something myself.
Magic, thanks very much indeed. Thanks, mate.
All right, speak next week. Bye bye.
See you, mate. Bye bye. So there you have it then. Brightling Sea Region, the winner of the Ryman Team of the Week for week 7 for the second week in a row, and they win it by 9 votes. And 1,000 votes between the two sides, just over 1,000 votes between them and Chipstead. And it changed over so many times, as Stuart just said, in the last half an hour. And Brightling Sea Region pip Chipstead by 9 votes for the title of Team of the Week for week 7. And it's growing, this Team of the Week. That's over 1,000 votes again this week. As we've said on this show before, we've had football exclusives on this show. Football exclusives will come to your place. They will film the games. They will do commentary on the games. And what they do is they charge you a £5 premium to go and watch the highlights and the interviews, and a 20-minute highlight package on their website, which is footballexclusives.com. Have a look at that. And they give £2 back to your club at the end of the season. So work that out, Brightling Sea Region fans. Work that out, Chipstead fans. If you had 500 votes each, and 500 of you guys there actually signed up for the football exclusives, if your club signed up to it, that's £1,000 that you've just given your club straight away. So that would be £1,000 in 1 week alone, in 1 month alone, should I say, that would go to your club at the end of the season. What could your club do with that? You know, so if you're looking at Football Exclusive and you want something to do with some recording and stuff for you, then why not have a look at their website? It's footballexclusive.com, and earn your club money for doing nothing. Basically, for doing nothing, and you're getting a heck of a lot for it by getting your games recorded and so forth, and also getting £2 from every single fan of your club that signs up to the premium service. Or you can do the free service where you just get to see the interviews with the players and stuff. You don't get to see the game. It's entirely up to you what you'd want to do with it. But as long as you make sure that when it says what team do you support, that you put in your side of Chipstead or Brightling Sea Region or whoever it might be, that money would go to you at the end of the season. Even if you're not watching Brightling Sea Region games and you might be watching Wroxham games, for instance, that money would still go to Brightling Sea Region at the end of the season. So we'll be speaking to James Webster very, very soon now. And I dare say you'd be cock-a-hoop winning it 2 weeks in a row. But we'll just go back to where we were. Ryman North then at the bottom. Burnham Ramblers play 27, 13 points. Craig
Bray Wanderers played 26 with 17 points. Barkingside played 23 with 22. Redbridge played 27 with 28. And Heybridge Swifts played 26 with 28. At the top of the table, Harlow Town are now top, played 29 with 67. Needham Market have played 27 with 64. Brentwood Town have played 26 with 53. Wroxham have played 28 with 51. Averley 29 with 48 points. Thurrock have played 26 with 45 points. And AFC Sudbury have played 27 with 45. In the Ryman South, Horsham are at the bottom. They've played 25 with 17 points. Redhill have played 24 with 22. Ramsgate have played 26 with 24 points. Walton Casuals on the rise have played 26 with 25 points. Hive Town have played 28 with 29 points. And East Grinstead Town have played 27 with 30. At the top of the Ryman South, it's Burgess Hill Town played 25 with 65 points. Faversham Town have played 28 with 62 points. Folkestone and Victor have played 28 with 58 points. Mersham have played 28 with 57 points. Whiteleaf have played 28 with 45 points and Worthing have played 28 with 43. And a shout to South Park, who are in not eighth, have played only 24 games with 39 points. And the most unluckiest team so far this week, Chipstead, are in 12th position, played 27 with 37 points and got a 4-4 draw with an outfield player in goal. Just amazing. I still can't get over they lost by 9, and I think I do feel sorry for Steve and everybody down at Chipstead by losing out by 9 votes. So I do really apologise to everybody down at Chipstead. Just very, very unfortunate, but what a week for that. And as we said, goal scoring wise, we did say before, top of the table, the usual names really. David Knight has played 19 for Wingate, scored 19 for Wingate and Finchley. Leon Smith 17 for Hendon. Ryan Moss 16 for Margate. Frederick Lapio 14 for Grays Athletic. In the Ryman North, it's Alex Reid have got 25 for Harlow. Christy Finch has got 22 for Wroxham. Kieran Bishop's got 18 for Ware. Remy Gordon's got 15 from Wroxham. Jason Hallett 14 for Waltham Abbey. All on 14, we've got Jason Hallett, Luke Stanley, Ross Wall, Sam Newson from Waltham Abbey, Soham, Thurrock and Needham. We've got Tara Gordon-Young, 13 from Thamesmead. On 12, we've got Adam Bowley, Charlie Simpson, Neil Richmond from Chesson, Thurrock and Heybridge. With 11, we've got Cliff Ackeran, Luke Ingram and Marcus Elliott. And, of course, that's from Heybridge Swifts, Needham Market and Averley. In the Ryman South, Chris Smith is top 21 goals for South Park. Ian Drake got 18 for Folkestone and Victor. Stuart Knight, 18 for Herne Bay in that division as well. And, of course, keep a lookout because in that, it would be very, very interesting to keep a very close eye on the Ryman South top goal scorer award because, of course, as we've said before, the Green Avenger was back on the bench for Guernsey. And so he was back. And so we expect to see him flying up those goal scoring charts for Guernsey in the coming weeks. And, of course, as we said, any time now on the phone, we will be having the Brighton & Sea Regent Manager, James Webster, will be with us. It'll be very, very interesting again to talk to James around Brighton & Sea and what really has sort of, I suppose, turned everything around a little bit up there. I suppose it wasn't there wasn't in too bad a shape, but it seems to now that everybody seems to have aligned in the right direction and Brighton & Sea Regent absolutely flying in the league at the moment in the Ryman North. And hopefully on the phone now is James. Hello, James.
Hiya. How you doing?
Not too bad, sir. Not too bad. I don't know if you just heard the bit of the show there. We've that Brighton & Sea Regent have just been named for the second week in a row Ryman Team of the Week.
Oh, right. Oh, brilliant. I hadn't heard that, actually. My Wi-Fi connection's not great where I am at the moment, so I haven't been able to listen to the show tonight.
I mean, literally, the gentleman that was on from who does it for us basically said that the lead actually changed hands about 9 times in the last half an hour between yourselves and Chipstead. There was 1,000 votes between the two teams, and you actually pipped Chipstead in the end by 9 votes.
Cool. Very tight then. I'm delighted. The club are delighted. I think it's the second week now we've run it. It's great. The fans enjoyed winning it last week and have all been talking to me about it. And it seems like they've all voted again this week. So,
and I mean, I must admit, we came down and I spoke to Terry last year, and when he was trying to get the ground up to shape and ready to come into the Ryman North, and spoke to him earlier in the season, and had the pleasure to actually come down to the ground when Harlow came down. I was quite lucky that it was a week that I was off, and I managed to get down to the ground. And to be perfectly honest, it was an absolutely beautiful, beautiful ground, and we was made to feel really welcome down there. And it's fantastic just to see, you know, the success that you're having at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, club's come a long way in quite a short space of time, you know. And Terry's sort of been the one behind that's driven it forward, and you know, had the trust in the players and myself, my management team, to back us and help us progress through the league. So club's showing great ambition, and there's still a lot of work to do. I mean, we've still got a lot to do to even get the ground into a position where we can stay in the league. And you know, it's tough, and I'm sure Terry's having nightmares already, and you know, we've still got a few months to get it done, but it's still a lot of work, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and it's important then people get the credit they deserve as well.
Well, absolutely, and I say, you know, I know Terry's really passionate about it, and I know everybody's down there, and I mean, I'm just looking at the fixtures. I mean, I think out of the last 16 games, you've only actually, you know, I think there's three games that you've lost in the last 16, two of those being cup games as well.
Yeah, we're on a great little run at the moment, definitely, especially in the league. And we just hit a purple patch really, and we're in great form. And you know, we're going into games full of confidence and always looking to get a positive result, whoever it is we're playing.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, what actually still needs to be done then to the ground to get it to the Ryman League sort of standards that you need to be at?
Yeah, I think the three main ones that are probably the biggest tasks are to infill the pitch. So we've got to have the pitch, sort of the barriers, it running around the pitch so that, you know, if the ball comes off, it hits them. That's got to be done. I think the player tunnel needs to be put in place. And the other one is getting a medical room or a first aid room, which is external to the sort of clubhouse and is, can be accessed via the pitch or from the side of the pitch. And I think they're the three main ones, along with one or two other little bits. But we've got the seating, we've got the stands in place, we've got enough covered seating, we've got enough covered standing areas. It's just getting them things done, which are not menial. There's a lot of preparation to getting work. There's obviously finances that need to be put in place to get these stuff. There's grants we're applying for, and there's certainly a lot of work that goes in to get this sort of ground into the shape it needs to be in.
Yes. I mean, because I say when we came down, I mean, it was, I think the two sets of fans, or should we say the two ultras, as they call themselves,
yeah,
you know, come backwards and forwards against each other was brilliant. But I think the thing that made it for me on the day was we were sitting in the stand on the side of your clubhouse, and we were sitting on that sort of side there, and there was, shall we say, I'll put this as politely as I possibly can, the elderly ultras were sitting behind the back of us, and they were fantastic. I mean, it was absolutely brilliant all the way through the game, and I turned around to my wife and my young daughter that was sitting with us and said, I've not enjoyed a game like that for a long time, because these, you know, the older ladies that were sitting behind the back of us were sort of commenting about almost everything that was going on in the game, and it was just brilliant. It was like going back to the old days of watching the British wrestling on the TV. It was just so good to listen to everybody actually getting involved in your club, and everybody from the youngest to the oldest sort of getting involved in the team and cheering your boys on all the way through the game.
Yeah, definitely. So there's been a great community feel to the club. I know, obviously, success on the pitch obviously helps off the pitch, and you know, we've got a lot of attention recently, and the whole of the town are behind us, as you say, from the older people to the youth teams now coming to watch. And we've got a little group of fans that have formed and sort of travel away and home to every game and make up their songs, and I know, similar to like Harlow, have got probably on a smaller proportion, but you know, they're great and they really enjoy themselves, and it's good that they've sort of got behind us and got behind the lads, because you know, it definitely helps in games, and you know, and you need to be that little bit of extra inspiration, and you've got the supporters behind the goal really willing the lads on.
I mean, what have you done then? Because, you know, from the early part of the season, was it just trying to find your feet in the league to start with, you know, with sort of a higher level of football as such from the league you was in previously? Was it just trying to find your feet in the league that's and now you sort of found that winning formula, and you sort of, it just looks like you've almost, you know, got in the car and got and sped off now.
Yeah, I think, you know, the personnel's not greatly changed. They're still the same players that, you know, off the back of last year that got us promoted. You know, there was never any doubt in my mind they weren't good enough to play at this level, and they've proved me right. I think it was just a case of adapting, adjusting to the levels. I think we found the league quite physical in terms of the volume of games that's played, especially early on in the season. So we were finding it hard to get on the training ground because we were playing Saturday, Tuesday, something we weren't really prepared, not prepared for, but we wasn't used to anyway. And the league certainly is more physical than we've been used to, but the players have adapted and, you know, they've come on leaps and bounds since the start of the year, and we're in a completely different place as a group now. We seem to have settled down now, and we realise what the league's about, what we need to do, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, and unfortunately, it's paying off.
I mean, I'm just looking at the squad on the website, and of course, I suppose the one name that sort of everybody sort of comes to mind first, I suppose, on that list, he's Ben Newson. I mean, we saw him play, and he just seems to be a complete menace, you know, for the opposition when he's actually got the ball.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Ben was someone we earmarked early on in pre-season, and we knew we needed to get one or two lads in that had been playing at this level and had the experience of playing this level and knew what the league was about. And Ben was one of our main targets that we set out to get, and we got him on board, and you know, he's been excellent for us. He's a good character in the dressing room. He's a good player, obviously. He's very technically very good, and as you say, he causes defenders problems because he wants to get at them, and he wants to get forward, and he wants to, you know, score goals, create goals, and as you say, be a menace to defences. So he's been an excellent addition.
And looking at your midfield players, there seems to be a lot of a lot of youth there as well. They look very sort of young lads that as well as with some experience. Sort of thrown in for good measure as well?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a very young side, actually. I think we've only got two players over 28 and a majority under 25, so we've got a very young squad, but they're all ambitious players. They're all lads that, you know, have got aspirations to go and play higher, and rightly so. You know, we'll always encourage that, and we're in a good place at the moment. We've got Amir Burkane from Chelmsford, who's 18 years old, was released from Ipswich last year, and He's looking like he's played at this level for years, to be honest, and he's really getting hold of games and running them and dictating play, and he's been a great addition for us. And then, as you say, alongside some of the sort of lads that have been with us for the last 3-4 years, the more experienced ones, that are 28, 29, helping him, and it's sort of been a good mix and a good blend of experience and youth at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's what when we spoke to Willstone last year. We spoke to Willstone last year, and they had the same thing with the likes of Glenn Little and that playing in their, you know, in their midfield as well. And saying it helps so much for the players, because you've got somebody that's got the wise old head that's there and, you know, helping these players along. And I know we had it here with Danny Brown a couple of seasons ago as well.
Yeah.
And you've got that older one there that's helping them along and bringing those players, you know, up to the level of what they need to be at. And it must be fantastic to watch, you know, these ones. You can say what you want, you say to them in the dressing room and, you know, in training and stuff, but then seeing some of these older heads helping them along on the pitch must be fantastic to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some of them, you know, they're doing your job for you in some ways, you know, by guiding these young players and teaching them what's right, what's wrong and what they should be doing. And, you know, all I'd say is the young players that we've got at the moment, they've all got wise heads on their shoulders. They all look like they've been playing this level of football for a long time, and nothing really phases them. They'll go out on a Saturday and they can be playing against Kem, is it, or Joe Bloggs. It doesn't matter to them. They just want to get out there and play football because that's what they enjoy doing. So, as you say, with that, with the blend of experience, it's certainly been a good recipe for us this season.
I might have seen it completely wrong. Did I see over the Christmas period, though, you lost a player off to Needham Market?
Just before, yeah, Michael Brothers. Just before Christmas, Michael went back. He was played for Needham before. I think he's quite friendly with the manager there. And yeah, he come in for. I think he was with us for about 4 or 5 weeks. We signed him from Leiston. He's done really well. You know, he's a good lad as well, and he's great for the dressing room. And he's a good character. And he sort of was at the beginning of that turning form. And you know, he played his part. And you know, as I say, I can't really speak more highly of him for when he came in and what he did for us. And he sort of was right at the start when we turned that form around and we turned the team around. He was part of that.
Well, it's quite funny actually. I couldn't remember the name of the player that went, and it was a conversation that I had with the secretary at Harlow, and Mr. Ray Dyer, and we were speaking the other day and saying this Michael Brothers is a pain up the backside for us every time they need him a scoring lately. It's this guy. Where did he come from? And we couldn't remember where he came from. So it's probably answered. He's probably sitting home listening and thinking, "So that's where I've seen him before." But he's been a menace for us. We haven't even played him, and they've been a menace. He's been an absolute menace for us over the Christmas period.
I think he scored five and he's lost three for them. So, but he's a lad who's been around the Ryman League for a while with Leicester, and he's had spells at Sudbury, Needham. So he's got a lot of experience, and it's one of the reasons we signed him. And, while at the short time we had him, he definitely helped. Again, like you say, with the younger lads, and he was always a good leader, and he was good in the dressing room. He's the sort of lad that would be geeing everyone up and putting an arm around the younger players and helping everyone through it. So it's great to have players like that.
So, I mean, what about sort of teams underneath the first team? Have you got reserve sides and youth sides as well underneath?
Yeah, we've got a reserve side who play in the furlough non-reserve league. They're having a good season themselves. There's a lot of young players in that we've picked up this year through forming our under-18s. I mean, this is the first year we've had a furlough non-under-18 side, but they've been great, and it's good that you can sort of tap into that from time to time, especially when you haven't got the biggest budget in the league and you haven't got a big squad of players. I think our squad of players is down to about 14-15 at the moment, but when you've got a good reserve side and you've got a good under-18s, it's not so much of an issue.
Well, I can tell you, James, that he is listening tonight, because I've just got a text from him in the studio saying, "I remember now," and laugh out loud. So he knows, he can remember exactly where he's seen him from now.
Yeah.
But with your sort of sides that you've got, I mean, I've just gone on, I'm on your website with your reserves, your A side and so forth. Do you as a manager sort of speak to the managers of those sides and get them playing in the same style as the first team, so that, if you've got a left back that may be in the reserves or you're under-18s or whatever else, that, for instance, worst case scenario, you lose your left back for a period of time and the left back's pretty good saying you're under-18s, that you can sort of go to your under-18s manager and bring him straight in because he knows the style of play because they're playing the same style as you, or do they play to that manager's style?
I mean, you've got to have the continuity between the squads, and as you say, if someone steps in, they need to know the style of football that you're trying to implement and the way you want them to play and what your style is, whether that's getting it out to your fullbacks and keeping it on the deck, or whether at times you're more direct. But we certainly do go and watch a lot of the reserve games, especially the under-18s, and we have regular meetings with the managers and hopefully everyone's on the same page. And at the moment, Touchwood, all three sides are doing really well in their respective leagues, so it's a good place to be at the moment.
And I see as well, you've got a young ladies side as well. Under-14s ladies team as well.
Yes, under-14 girls side, they're doing very well. They're a good little side, and something we try and encourage. There's a lot of people looking to get involved in girls football, ladies football in the area, and it's something we maybe consider, maybe starting up a ladies team at some stage.
I suppose with the run you're actually on, I mean, is Terry getting a bit nervous that, okay, we've got to upgrade it to do this and do that to stay in the Ryman North, and is he getting a little bit nervous that you might have to upgrade it a little bit more than that because you might be going up even further?
I think that's an understatement. I think he's been close to heart attacks this week. I think his mandate is please don't go anywhere near the playoffs. But obviously, in jest, as I said before, Terry's done a lot of work. He's been the driving force behind the club, sort of rising from the ashes as such when it reformed in 2005. And, it was playing step seven, step eight football. And now he's got the club into a position where it's, looking on the periphery of the playoffs in a step four league. And I don't think in his wildest dreams he would have ever thought that when he started back in 2005. But, the club's ambitious, Terry is as well. He'd never say no to a promotion, but it'd be nice, I think, from his perspective, for us to sort of try and catch up a little bit off the pitch for what we've done on it. It's sort of been a bit of a whirlwind these last sort of three or four seasons, and I think the off-the-pitch stuff is still a little bit behind, and we just need to try and catch that up if we can, and, try and get to the same level where the club's doing things properly off the pitch and able to support the club on it.
So, I mean, is it a case again then that you're looking for I suppose while we're on exactly the same as we did probably a year ago, you're looking for maybe some sponsors to come in with a bit of money to help out if there's anybody around that's listening, and maybe some help to come down and help out with the bits and bobs that need to be done?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we put a similar message out this time last year, and the local community rallied for us. I mean, we had two lorry loads of concrete donated to us by a company that sort of read one of the chairman's articles in the paper, and you know, other people are lending a hand, and I'll come up and I'll help do this. And so there's a great community spirit. And also we got the infamous stand off eBay, which went a bit viral. We picked that up, and someone went and picked it up for us, and everyone was down there at 11 o'clock at night before an FA Vars game putting the thing together under the floodlights. So, you know, everyone come together, everyone knew what the goals were, and everyone rallied behind the club to support them to achieve that.
So, I mean, I suppose back to almost to your fans and so forth. I mean, they must be almost like a, you know, a 12th man for you, because, I mean, they come down, as you say, there's probably, I don't know, about a dozen of them, would there be, I suppose, behind the back of the goal?
Of Hartlepool ones, yeah, but they fluctuate.
Yeah, I know.
There's about a dozen of hardcore ones, yeah, that sort of follow us home and away and got their flags and their songs. And
because I know when they turned up, I think they turned up for the game, and a couple of the guys were a bit late, and I think one of the guys has walked past with a beer in his hand, and one of the older ladies at the back of us said, "Come on, hurry up and get drunk." She said, "You've got to start shouting and try and beat these Arlo fans." And it was, but it was just the camaraderie. You could see, you know, on the day, the complete and utter sort of camaraderie that there was between the whole thing, and I do remember one of your ladies from inside the clubhouse, you know, she was devastated because somebody had let her down to go on the burger bar, and she saw how many sort of Harlow fans were there, and sort of devastated because of the money that she could have got through the burger bar, and she couldn't actually put nothing into it on that day. And it was a fantastic day. I'd say for me, on my trip down to Brighton, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, we went for a nice little meal down the seafront as well, which we found down there as well, and that was lovely. But it's like the back end of beyond for 3G down there, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was trying to keep up to date with the results, and I just couldn't get nothing.
You're all right if you're with, well, there's one network, I think you're fine. Any other one, you're struggling. But we're lucky, I'm lucky anyway. I'm luckily on that network, so it's not too bad for me, but I know everyone else isn't too happy with it.
I remember going into Clacton afterwards on the way home, and the phone just took off. It just went bonkers as soon as we got into Clacton. But it's a fantastic. I mean, how did you first get involved with the club yourself then?
I stopped playing for injury about, how old am I now? Probably about 28, and sort of fell out of the game really. And then the manager before me at Brighton, he just said, "Look, you know, come and get back involved." And I sort of weren't sure at first, but I went over and took the reserves on for the remainder of that season. And the gentleman who got me over, actually, he packed up that year. And I just sort of fell into it, really. The chairman sort of said, "You know, you've been doing a good job for the reserves. What do you think about giving the first team job a go?" And I sort of weren't sure at first, but took it on and just haven't really looked back since, really. We got promoted that year, and it's just been a bit of a rollercoaster.
It's been fantastic to watch. I mean, from a distance, you know, it's to see you, you know, result after result coming through, and you keep looking at the results thinking, wow, you know, it's another great result for them, another great result for them. And it's great to see the likes of yourselves and even the likes of Great Wakering as well with the results they've been getting as well, you know, in the same sort of scenario of yourself coming up this year. And, you know, and I know they've been there before, but it's great to see you guys coming up and not just holding your own in the league, but also sort of maybe even going a little bit further than maybe some of those established sides that have been in there for quite some time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that was always one of the concerns or one of the worries was, you know, maybe not from my perspective, because I always believed in the players and the group I had were capable of playing that level. But, you know, it's always a worry when you go up a division that you don't want to become the team that's, you know, overstepped the mark or gone up too quickly and then sort of been a bit embarrassed by coming straight back down. And, you know, to start with, we found it difficult. You know, I'm not going to lie, it was a bit daunting, and we were sort of looking at each other, scratching our heads. But after sort of 6, 7, 8 games, it really turned around for us, and we sort of got to grips with it, and we sort of got a formula that's working at the moment. And as I said before, adapting to the physicality of the league was definitely something we took time to do, and we look like a much stronger and solid side now that we're doing that.
And of course, you say success in, you know, in the club, and I've just picked up something from in sort of end of I know we're going back a bit now, but even back to as far as the end of November, when we, you know, with the report that's on here with your you know, reserves making it into the you know, first side since Witham Town reserves in 2016 to reach the fourth round of the Essex Premier Cup with a 2-1 away win on Saturday. So it, as you say, it's something that's going right through the club. It's not just the actual, you know, not just the first team, but everybody seems to be on the up at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. It breeds confidence throughout everyone, and, you know, it puts you, our profile of the club's been upped over the last couple of seasons, and people want to come and play for us now, and, you know, that weren't the case a few years back. Brightness, he was sort of down in the doldrums a bit, but, you know, the club's in a good place, and everyone wants to be a part of it, and, you know, it can only be good for the football club. And as you say, the reserves, they've got that their Essex Cup game on Saturday, and we're looking to progress in that, and I know it's something they're really proud of this year, that they're doing so well in the league and the cup.
So, I mean, for people that don't actually know exactly where you're situated, and they might be close to you and don't know where the ground is or anything like that, whereabouts is the ground? And let everybody know.
We've had a few tweets asking whereabouts in Southend we are.
That's why they can't find you. Yeah,
but no, we're sort of situated in between Wivenhoe and in Clacton, just down on the coast past Wivenhoe, just on the outskirts of Colchester. And yeah, it's an old ground. It's been there a long time. It's in the middle of houses now because it's all been developed around the ground. But, you know, it's got a bit of character to it. And, you know, we're hoping to improve things slowly and surely. Things are getting done, and we can hopefully get into a position where, you know, the whole community can be proud of the club and the ground.
So, for those coming down as well, then how much is it to get into the ground to come and see Brightness Sea play?
I believe it's £8. For a full adult ticket, and I think I may be wrong, but I think it's £5 for concessions. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
So when we come to this Saturday, I mean, who have you got this Saturday? Just so everybody knows.
We're away to Romford on Saturday. Obviously, weather permitting, it's that time of the year at the moment where it's hard to plan, and, you know, you're always in the back of your mind worrying about postponements and then having to fulfil them fixtures during the week. And, you know, if it does get called off late on, can you rearrange something for training or whatever other avenues you have to go down, maybe a friendly or anything like that. But, yeah, we've got Romford. We've played them 3 times already. Funnily enough, we played them earlier on in the season at our place, and we had a floodlight failure when we were 2-0 up after 60 minutes, which weren't ideal. But, yeah, no, you know, we know enough about Romford now, and, you know, we'll go there again, hoping if we can to get a positive result.
But thankfully, even though you were 2-0 up and the floodlights cut out, you normally see things like that where you play the next game and you end up getting beat. But
yeah,
that didn't happen, though, did it?
No, we won the game when it got rearranged 3-1. So yeah, that was definitely the worry that then you follow it up and you don't perform to the same level, and you're on the back of a bad result. But yeah, no, that was unfortunate that night. The lights went out. It wasn't a fault of the clubs or the area. I think it was just a power cut. It tripped the lights off, and they couldn't go back on because they're old. And, you know, I don't know the technical stuff, but they're old, and switching them straight back on might have blown the fuses on them.
And of course, you've got 2 games in quick succession. I mean, you've got Billericay in the Essex Cup on the is it Essex Cup or is it the
yeah,
league?
Essex,
yeah, Essex
Cup,
Cup on the, yeah, on the money. So the I mean, what does a manager do with that? I mean, do you go with your first team? You're going to go with your first team against Romford, but do you then go, as you said, you're down sort of bare bones at the minute. So do you then go and is it a case of having to put it out because of how many players you've only got against Billericay?
Yeah, I mean, to this stage now we have sort of, because we've had a really settled side, and we've had 4 clean sheets in the last 4 games. So I haven't wanted to tinker with things. And, you know, the same set of lads have sat on the bench for the last 4 games, you know, and they're desperate to get some minutes and get on the pitch. So previously to this, you know, we've tried to switch it up a bit or freshen things up a bit and give some other people some opportunities. But at the moment we are down to 14, 15 lads. So it may be difficult to do that. And not just that, you know, we want to go there and try and put on a performance and see if we can get something from the game. You know, we're in the quarterfinals now, so it'd be a shame to, to not go there and not field a side that we didn't think was good enough to win the match.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been fantastic speaking to you today, James, and all my regards to everybody at Brighton & Sion, including Terry. Hoping that everything goes fantastic with all your jobs that you've got to do at the club as well. And, you know, everybody here is going to be keeping a close eye on it. And a massive congratulations for winning the Team of the Week 2 weeks in a row as well.
Yeah, brilliant. I appreciate having us on tonight. And obviously, I want to thank everyone that voted for us. It's fantastic for the club and, you know, I'm really proud of it.
Magic. Thanks very much indeed, James, and all the very, very best for your next couple of games.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, James. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that was James Webster, the manager of Brighton & Sion Region. Two wins in a row for the Ryman Team of the Week. We're going to give you a little bit of news and bits and bobs, and then we'll be back with what everybody's been asking me for. Somebody from Football Web Pages, Gary Eakins, will be with us after this.